Hey, everybody. Hope you had a great week and you have a good week coming up. You know, I've been spending a lot of time with the family, and I've come to realize that I'm really annoying to live with. Just toast is an issue for me. Yeah, toast. So I like eggs. My wife was nice enough to make me sunny side eggs, sunny side up. And, you know, she makes the one egg as I like it because I like them to stay hot. And then she makes me two pieces of toast. Well, you can't make me two pieces of toast because the second piece of toast, by the time you get to the second egg, it's like a giant crouton. It's cold, it's hard, it's breakable. So what I like to do is I have the first egg with the first piece of toast. That's warm and buttery. And then I make a signal, like a hand signal, like a manager going to the bullpen, which is the signal for putting the second piece of toast in to come out in conjunction with the second egg. That's warm and buttery. There's a whole symbiotic relationship between me and the egg and the toast. You don't want to be any part of this. I really do need to live alone in the woods. All right, my guest this week, Laura Prepon from That 70s Show and Orange is the New Black. And I've never met her before, and I felt like I knew her my whole life. She was so delightful. Great conversation. We talked about her career, some struggles she had as a kid. She has a book out on motherhood and some really interesting perspectives and funny stories, you know, about herself as a mom, a working mom. So I hope you enjoy Laura. Check out the YouTube channel and one piece of toast at a time, people. My guest this week, very, very talented actress, and you know her from That 70s Show, Orange is the New Black. She's a New York Times best-selling author and has a book out, You and I as Mothers, Laura Prepon. It's great to have you on the show.
Hey, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we were just, we're both sort of New Yorkers talking about making it through this sort of crazy time, and I know you've got a toddler, you've got a your daughter's two now, Ella, and then you've got another one on the way?
Well, my daughter's 2.5, and we have a newborn that's 8 weeks old.
Oh, my God. Jesus. Boy, you picked up.
Yeah, thank goodness he came right before the lockdown really happened, because I have friends that are going into labor. Their partners aren't even allowed in the hospital.
Oh, God. So my son's older, so we're not in that age range anymore with the kids. So how is it? Are you guys just kind of going stir crazy? I know we were talking off air about just, you know, trying to stay at home as much as possible, especially with a newborn. But are you guys, how is it with kids at that age right now?
Well, you know, it's interesting because it's kind of great that my daughter's 2.5 because she doesn't really understand why we're staying home. You know, she loves being home anyway, but because we make it really fun for her and we do a bunch of activities and, you know, we make it really fun for her and we have a little backyard, not big, but enough to go out and feel the sun on her face and for her to, like, you know, smell some flowers because connection to nature right now is so important. It's always important, but especially now with not being able to do our normal activities, it's something that's kind of, it's grounding, you know?
Yeah.
So it's cool that she doesn't fully understand why. And we have an 8-week-old newborn. So we had already planned on isolating, you know, we had already planned on bonding with our baby and our daughter and really having this time to just kind of be this like nuclear, you know, household where we're just bonding and having, and you know, you're in those initial weeks with the baby. So we had already kind of planned on that, and we knew to kind of have everything set up for me because we knew that after around his due date, we knew I'd be promoting my book 6 weeks after that. And it's been surreal. Like, we'd planned on isolating, but not, we plan on isolating for very different reasons.
Yeah.
We didn't plan on isolating because of a pandemic.
Yeah, no, it's like, be careful what you wish for. And then you're like, come on, bring it on, pandemic. We were going to isolate anywhere. Suck it. We can handle this. We got it covered. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's insane. But you know, yes, it's hard not being able to take our kids out and go for a walk, or for my husband and I to, you know, try to, you know, even order in. Like, we're not, you know what I mean? Like, not only are we being careful, we're being extra careful because of our newborn.
So it's
surreal. It's surreal. But you know what? Knock on wood. Like, everything's good. We're just trying to find levity and laugh when we can, or else it's just too much doom.
Yeah, I know. It really is. It's there's so much we could talk about. Let's talk about the book, but maybe we'll circle back to this, because I actually saw two cab drivers getting in a fist fight, but they realized in the middle of it they had to keep 6 feet distance, so they would run at each other and then run away from each other and then run at each other.
No way!
I swear to God, I'm like, I should get these guys mannequin arms and they can really go to town. You know, it's really like, it was hilarious.
Oh my God.
I'm like, New York's getting back to normal, you know? So your book.
Finally,
you know? Your book, You and I as Mothers, and it's a really interesting book, and it sounds like, you know, something that you needed to do, because you had said, actually, you know, you were blindsided when you became a mother, and that you realized that there was a book on motherhood that you craved but didn't exist. And what was it that you were craving, and did you know consciously that you were craving something like that, and what was lacking in the books that were out there?
Well, for me, it's like when I'm going into something, I like to research it. I get all these books on it. I research it. I'm a prepper. Like, that's my thing. Mm-hmm. And there were all these books about pregnancy. And then once you're out of those 9 months, there were books on parenting, but there was no book for me. There was no book for the mother. And I was so blindsided. I could not find a resource to turn to. And while I was going through all these things, whether it was stress or loss of control, self-care, I felt like I didn't have the community I needed. I couldn't nourish myself and my family. I was so blindsided, as you said, that I felt like I needed to put the resource out there that I was looking for. And not only do I share my stories and very vulnerable personal stories, but also share all these tips and tricks, I wanted this book to speak to women of all ages. This is not a postpartum book. This is not a fourth trimester book. I wanted it to speak to women of all ages, as well as a lot of men are getting a lot out of it as well, because they can get more understanding on what their partner's going through. And a lot of women who aren't yet mothers and may choose not to be are getting a lot out of it, because I speak to these things like stress and loss of control and anxiety and all these things that we're dealing with now, just watching the news and trying to be up to date with our current situation.
Right.
But I wrote this book to fill a void that I didn't think this was out there. And the response has been overwhelmingly amazing. And it helped me a lot writing this book, like writing it, getting it out, was so healing and amazing for me that I'm just so happy that people are getting so much out of it, because I got so much out of it by writing it.
Were you, as you were going through this, were you sort of keeping a diary of some kind and starting to kind of put pen to paper, just not even maybe with the plans of a book, but was that any kind of a process that you did or that might have helped you?
Well, one of the ways that I process things is by, you know, writing it down. It's how my first book evolved. And I did the same thing with this one. And because I was struggling so much with it, my husband was actually the one who said, "You can't be the only one going through this," because he saw how much I was struggling, and he was right. And when I started talking to all these moms of different ages, I realized that not only was I not the only one going through this, but a lot of these topics that I talk about in the book, women of all ages are still dealing with them, whether it's, you know, stress. They might have an 18-year-old kid, but they're still dealing with stress, just on a different level or a different situation.
Right.
And so all of the stress reduction techniques that I have are applicable across the board. And that's just one chapter, you know? So there's all of these topics that I write about that are commonalities between so many people, which is why I think that it's like these universal topics. And it's one of the reasons why so many people are getting so much out of it. But my husband was so supportive in that. He's like, "You have to write about this stuff." And we're also really private people. Like, I've been in my industry for over 20 years. I love my job. But while I'm in the public eye, I have a very private, my personal life is very private. My husband mm-hmm. and I are very private. So the things that I share in this book were really hard and vulnerable for me to share. And my husband and I talked about all of them because we make those decisions as a family. Mm. Whenever we're talking about something personal, we make those decisions as a family, whether it's a story about our loss of our second pregnancy to putting a picture up of our kid on social media. Like, it's always a family decision. Mm. And he was so supportive with sharing all the things that I shared in this book because he knew how badly, you know, people needed this book. So it was amazing. It was amazing. And I really share a lot of vulnerable stuff in this book.
You really do. I mean, you talk about bulimia.
We have that conversation.
Yeah. I mean, the things you talk about, by the way, my wife is, we talk about, she doesn't want me to put a lot of pictures of my son as part of social media and as in entertainment as well. You know, you kind of, we try to keep our private life private. And I totally get that. But you're very personal in this book. It's part handbook, but also very much part memoir. And you talk about losing the baby. And you said something interesting. You said, I felt like a failure. I felt like my body had failed. And failed having another baby. The whole cycle of what's wrong with my body came back because you had issues of bulimia as a young woman. And I never heard anybody, and this is why this book is important, because you're saying something that I didn't realize a woman might say to herself in losing a baby, like that you had failed, to me would be the last thing that I would think of. What made you feel that way?
Well, it's such a good question, and I can't tell you how many women that I've since found out have that same feeling of shame and failure when something like a loss of pregnancy happens. And I can't tell you how many women have reached out to me saying that they went through that exact same thing. While it might not be the exact way that I lost my pregnancy, but they have gone through those same kind of emotional feelings.
Right.
I feel like, and again, it's one of those conversations that I felt needed to be had because it is shrouded in secrecy. And it's one of those things where, because it's surrounded in so much shame and, you know, it's, to me, I was looking for an answer to why.
Yeah.
Where it didn't make sense. What happened to us did not make sense to me. And I was trying to find a why so that I could move on. Because usually if I get the correct answer to why, I'm like, oh, that's why. Okay, cool. Now I can move on. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
This was so traumatic for me and us as a family. Because normally by the time you get into the second trimester, you kind of feel like, oh, we're in the clear. You know,
right.
Like most of the time, statistically, if something is going to go wrong, a lot of times it happens in the first trimester, which is why you're always told to wait till the second trimester to tell your family and people at work and things like that. So when you're in the second trimester, for me, I was like, oh, we're in the clear. And we did all of the testing. We did all of the scans and everything came back normal. The only thing that came that was an issue was one tiny measurement that still was in the range of normal. But that was the only flag that they were like, yeah, let's keep an eye on this, but it's nothing to be scared of right now. And that measurement turned out to be everything that was wrong. And it was an indication that something was majorly wrong, but doctors don't want to say that. They're just like, let's just keep an eye on it, you know?
Right.
But by the time we got into the second trimester and we thought we were in the clear, that's when we really found out that there were devastating health defects mm-hmm. with the baby. But you know, when I, you know, decided to write about it, I was trying to find an answer why. And I thought maybe it was something I did at work. Like, did I do a stunt that like knocked the baby the wrong way or something at work, which was not the case.
Right.
And then I'm like, is it the damage that I did to myself and my body with my eating disorder? Is it, you know, anything that I've done to myself, did I do something to cause this? Like I, you know, any bad habits that I'd had, like, did I do something that caused me to lose this pregnancy or to create these health defects? because I just wanted an answer. And none of it, there was no answer. That's the fact is. It's one of those things that just happened.
Right.
And it took me a lot of, it took me a while to come to terms with that. And I write all about my experience and what I did to come out of it. And it was so helpful to me. And then to be able to be open to getting pregnant again. And I write about that whole experience because there was so much secrecy around it and so much shame around it. And I can't tell you how many women have come forward and thanking me that I shared that story because they went through a similar thing and they'd never talked about it.
Well, what's great about the book is
that, around loss of pregnancy.
Yeah, it's really was eye opening to me. And so the book, you accomplish what you want and that sort of opening people's eyes to things. And the book is great because you give tips, but they come from a place of experience as opposed to someone who just might sort of give you more of these ephemeral, ethereal kind of theories on what to do. So it has more gravitas and weight when it's coming from somebody who lived through it, you know, and is you can commiserate with them through the book with you. And how are you at breaking the cycle of parenthood? And by that, I mean, like in my case, my mother always was on us about having to help work in our family furniture business. She'd make you feel guilty if you were sitting around just watching TV. And now I find myself with my son. I walk in the room and I see him watching TV and there's this voice in me that wants him to turn the TV off and do something. And I stop myself, but it's a fight. Do you find that as a parent that there's some of that creeping in terms of maybe some things that happened in your childhood that you don't want to repeat as a parent?
Oh man, that is such a good question. I literally write about this. I think it's the second or third chapter. It's called How You Were Mothered. And I think it's the second chapter, actually. It's called How You Were Mothered. And it's literally exactly what you just explained, where even whether you're a mother or not, like you just went through this as a parent. So it's like how we were mothered affects us. You know
what I mean?
And we all came from a mother figure. We all came from that person. And we all have a relationship or not, which still affects us, by the way. If you don't have a relationship with that person, it affects you whether you do or don't.
Absolutely.
And things like exactly what you just said they're so innately in us that and that's why I wanted to write about it, because for the first time when I went back and looked at, like, I through the process of writing this book, I went back and I analyzed how I was mothered for the first time in my life, because innately I went back to that as a survival mechanism to figure out what the hell I was doing when I first became a mom.
Right.
But it is this thing of like, it's this empowering thing of, first of all, I can't believe the fact that you were aware enough to see that and know that you're like, oh my God, this is what happened to me as a kid and now I'm doing it again. That is, first of all, so amazing that you have that awareness to see that, because sometimes we react in certain ways and we don't even know why until later we're like, oh, it's because my mom or my dad would put this pressure on me. So that's amazing. But I specifically write about this because while there was a lot of amazing stuff that was passed to me from my mom was an amazing woman. There was also a lot of dysfunction.
Yeah.
And these kind of, one being the, you know, eating disorder that she taught me how to do, but thought she was helping me. Mm. So not only were there these things of different things, like exactly what you just explained, but also this dysfunction and how empowering it is that we get to choose what we pass to our kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like we get to make that choice. And if you don't have kids, you get to choose what you put out in the world as a communication, you know?
Absolutely.
And it's such a good question, because there's so many things like that my eyes have been open to since being a mother. And that's why I write about that specifically. Because of that, because there are so many things that are in us that were handed down from our parents, and
it's
such a surreal experience when you're literally, you walk in, you have that thought that you wanted to tell your kid to stop watching TV and go get to work, but you stopped yourself from doing that.
Yeah, it's a very, 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 I'm going through a lot of stuff and talking with somebody about a lot of the stuff with my mom, and just very, very intense person and a lot of issues. And it's a lot of it is being, it's now explaining the, a lot of the feelings and behaviors I have. I mean, I really, we got to get together and talk some more. There's a lot, I think there's a lot of stuff you and I could talk about.
I would love to.
So I know you got to jump and, but the book is terrific, and it's a really, it's a really personal story, but also a helpful story and relatable. It's you and I as mothers, and your work as an actress is terrific. And so best of luck with the kids. Stay sane and stay safe in this crazy time. And we'll get together and do this some more. Okay. It's Laura Prepon, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. There you go. Laura Prepon. She's so great. I want to talk to her so much more. We're going to have another episode with her fairly soon. And please check out the YouTube channel. We got a lot of new videos there. And I hope you guys have a great and safe week. And we'll see you next week, everybody.